Greetings, mini golf friends. This is Mr. T, one of your podcast co-hosts. We thought the interview with Posse was so nice that we're going to give it to you twice. Actually, what ended up happening was the original file that I uploaded had one of the tracks missing, and I didn't realize that. And so we did correct that error, and there are a few services that got all of the tracks in, and you can hear Posse in our interview, in our conversations about Wagum and mini golf balls, but there's a few places where it's not. So we figured, why don't we just make it a standalone episode where it's just the interview with Posse in our intros and outros. So that's what you get. You're going to get our intro, our conversation with Posse, and then our kind of final words after it. So enjoy, and we've got some fun stuff on socials to go along with it. And finally, on to our big interview. We spent a lot of time getting up to it, and we're recording this actually separate from the interview. It's very difficult to get Posse Aho, who's our guest, on a podcast just because he does so much in the world of mini golf and traveling that we recorded this way back in February on the 2nd. And there were a few things in the podcast that did get mentioned. I think the tournament in Minnesota that we were hosting, that was mentioned, as well as a few other things. So keep that in mind with the interview. But by and large, we tried to do the interview as an evergreen and a conversation that we think, for people who don't understand some of the history of the World Adventure Golf Tour and mini golf balls, this will hopefully be very exciting to you. And even if you know a lot about it, you're going to have some fun. We had a blast doing this interview, so enjoy. Once again, we are thrilled to have another guest from overseas. And instead of me trying to say his name and tell you about all of the things that he's done in the mini golf world, I'm going to let our guest introduce himself. So guest, introduce yourself to the podcast.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Pat. My name is Posse Aho. Almost 50 years old, a mini golf enthusiast, player, official, and much more since 35 years, roughly. Daytime, I run my mini golf company, Fun Spots. We are building courses and selling equipment. And as a pretty time-consuming hobby, I'm the vice president sport of WMF, World Mini Golf Sport Federation, and when I have some time left, I try also to play mini golf pretty actively at the moment. That's it.
That's a few mini golf things, to say the least. And you're someone who has a pretty in-depth and wide history in the game. And we'd really encourage people, if they haven't already checked out your interview on the 54 Problems podcast, to go check that out for additional context and all of the things that Posse is doing to help grow the game and track the game around the world. But we really came on here to talk with Posse kind of in a very specific way. And a lot of it was prompted by the fact that it seems very likely this year will be the first time ever that I will be playing in the World Adventure Golf Masters. And it is something that I'm very unfamiliar with. And in addition to that, with the World Adventure Golf Masters, what you also bring into play is what we've talked about, that when we play on the Mini Golf Open standard, not system, courses, that over in Europe, when they play MOS, in many cases, they are also playing with the mini golf balls that are very specific. And again, with Posse's history and deep connections with mini golf balls, we wanted to bring him on here to talk about them. And I think we're going to just kick it off talking about mini golf balls, because I'm coming from this from the perspective of most, I think, people in the States and a lot of places around the world that are just completely unfamiliar with the idea that you would play mini golf with anything other than one ball. So I'm not trying to like look to get you to give us like every perfect detail, but give us a little bit of the history as you know it of mini golf balls in the sport.
Well, I don't really have facts, but I read a lot and I've heard a lot, and I believe that the beginning, obviously you need some kind of ball whenever you play mini golf, and that's already started like 100 years ago almost in Sweden and so on. But I believe the first balls really developed for mini golf came out at some point in the 70s. Obviously they were not necessarily produced for mini golf back then, but people started looking for different kind of balls which were around enough to be played and had a different properties, bounce, hardness and so on, that they could get some help in improving their scores. And then, well, I started playing 88, and back then you had already a couple of companies who produced mini golf balls specifically. The quality was not as steady, as stable as it's today. We used to order balls to Finland from a German seller, and the quality was sometimes very variable compared to today's quality and demands. But yeah, and from that point on, they have evolved steadily. Of course, the different possible combinations at some point come to an end, and you don't really invent any really totally new balls anymore, but you just try to make the existing types a little bit better.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because again, coming from a very novice point of view on this, with mini golf balls, the different types of qualities that they can have is that there's the sort of small, medium, and large size, and then there are various levels of hardness, bounce, and weight.
Correct.
And then within that, even there are obviously a number of different kinds of substances the balls are made of, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But is that sort of generally the way that you could describe mini golf balls?
Yes, I would take the fifth factor in, and that's the surface. Some of them are lacquered, some of them are unlacquered. Right. So there is they are basically all, or most of them, made of rubber, some kind of rubber mixture of God knows how many ingredients that are vulcanized, not as hard as an ice hockey puck, but basically vulcanized with the same principle, and then grinded to be round, and then lacquered and printed with a logo and so on.
That's right. Yes, because there's like the blank ones, there's the blank ones, there's ones that have a little bit of a lacquer, and then there's the rough ones that have like a little bit of a texture to them generally. But that's right. It's one of those things I forgot. And then of course there are also some really unique balls out there that are, when you tell people this, that you're just like, there's glass balls and there's balls that the clickers that are a miniature pool ball, and those are of different substances. And within that, so does it go any further than that? Like, I know all of this, there are then conforming rules for international play. They can only bounce a certain amount of height, and they can only be a certain amount of deadness. And then within all of those, like, there's a high end and a low end, correct?
Yeah, that's right. The weight is somehow defined by the physics. Then you have the rules for the bounce, and the hardness is also, I mean, you can have the maximum 100 shore hardness and down to some 15, which is very, very soft hardness. Though those are the limits. And then when you have five different factors which we listed, you have hundreds, thousands of different possible combinations. And even then, that's not the end of the story in that sense, that you can, by preparing, by heating up or cooling down a ball, you can even change its properties, make it usually faster and softer. Not always, but roughly it's like that.
And I think this will help not only for me, but for our audience, but why? I think people always ask that, why use all these different types of balls? And I think that is a thing that is very foreign to people who come from the golfing world. So why? I mean, I think we've talked about the different standard style courses, the miniature golf / Etternit and felt and concrete over in Europe, but like why with those or even with adventure golf style courses?
Quite simply, in my eyes, to improve the results, to play better, to achieve more aces. Or in some cases, it's not the ace that you want to achieve, but you want to achieve a 2 instead of 3 or so on. So it's like in almost every sport. I don't say in every sport because maybe it's not quite like that, but in every or most of the sports, you are improving your equipment to improve your results. I think that's the core reason.
Yeah, and just for context, I think I use this story that was passed on to me from someone from Team USA that played in Austria, that at the World Adventure Golf Masters this year, that with a golf ball, the course record on that 18-hole course was 41, but using mini golf balls, it was 31. You could opt to play with golf balls, but if you know that people can get 10 strokes better with those mini golf balls, you're kind of putting yourself out of a competition. If you're 10 strokes potentially down every round, that's a big deal. Was it always a thing, and we'll get into this more with adventure golf, was it just always kind of baked into the standard styles of mini golf over in Europe that those balls were always used? Was there ever a point where people were playing on felt with like a golf ball?
I don't think, I don't know the history of this. As you mentioned in the last episode, this Massaban or what kind of ball they actually used. But ever since, there has been a felt, a Swedish felt and golf ball. They don't fit well together. It's that the ball is rolling way too fast on all the systems, and it's also too bouncy in many cases. So when I started playing felt, that was what my home course had in Finland. My first set was a set of 3 or 4 balls, and then slowly and surely it grew up. But felt is still a system where you can manage with a low number of balls. Then miniature golf, Etternit and concrete are clearly a different story. And as adventure golf or MOS turf courses, you can also manage with a very low amount of balls if you have knowledge how to use and adapt them. But still, on most courses, you will improve the scores. Maybe not 10 shots, but at least 1 or 2.
And so with a lot of people probably don't understand that as far as competitive mini golf goes, the typical courses that we would play that would fit in the mini golf open standard or adventure golf, as far as the international game goes, that's relatively new. And I assume when there were those first big adventure golf tournaments, it was a meet that the mini golf balls were being used, that there were no golf ball only events back then, that it was assumed that you would use mini golf balls as well, correct?
At least since the beginning of the WMF adventure golf tournaments, which is the first wagon was 2011. There have been tournaments. My first adventure golf tournament was 2005, the World Crazies in Great Britain, where obviously you play one ball. Back then it was not a golf ball like it's today. It was a course ball with dimples, which was, I would say, closer to a mini golf ball than a golf ball. But at the same time, the British Open and other tournaments played in Great Britain, they were using mini golf balls. It's also for me logical because most of their courses, or at least very many of their courses, don't actually have an artificial turf. They have kind of felt, which is a little bit slower than Swedish felt, but it's still not a turf. So a golf ball wouldn't be an optimal choice all the time.
Yeah, and I think that's a that's another thing that a lot of players, especially in the States, would be unfamiliar with, because we have very few courses. The closest thing to felt that we have would probably be the putt-putt courses. That material is pretty close to felt, and I think it is. And there's really nothing in the States that I've seen that matches, like commonly, that matches Eternit or concrete. Those are surfaces that just seem, when you first see them coming overseas, you're just like, whoa, how do I get a golf ball to stop? And believe me, I for fun, I definitely tried all of the systems with a golf ball, and I can tell you that concrete was pretty amusing with a golf ball, especially a Callaway Super Soft. It was sort of like, when will the ball stop? And sometimes it took a while. Yeah.
I bet it did. It can be good on lane number 7 on the long golf.
Yes.
Apart from that, probably not.
There are hundreds of thousands of different variations with all of those 5 different properties. And as you said, there probably will be a point where all of the balls exist in the world. But I'm curious, I have 2 separate questions. One, I'm curious how many balls you own personally that you would actually use for play.
Too many.
That was the answer I expected.
I don't know exactly, but I would say it's about 1,300. I'm a bad seller. I'm better buyer than seller in case of my own stock.
And then I would be curious how many, and this is going to be a wild guess, if you were to look at all of the stores, about how many of those different types of balls are usually available? Are there really like a fairly narrow selection of balls that you can find available and in stock? Because that's a big thing about mini golf balls, is that it's kind of like all the records that are surrounding me in my room, is that there are so many balls that are just not available, and it becomes a collector's thing where people are buying and selling things that are either they're finding not useful for the way they play the game or the way they strike the ball, or that they maybe aren't playing as much, and so they start to pare down their collection. Like, how are there like tens of thousands of balls available to buy right now, or is it a much more limited scope?
I would say, first of all, I wanted to comment to my 1,300-1,400 balls. I still regularly, when I travel to a tournament, I grab maybe 100-150 of them. Most of the time, the same balls that I take with me, because they are my trusted ones, and the rest is for specific cases. And yeah, as we come to the collecting, I would say, including all the new balls plus secondhand balls, which are, the second market is pretty big in Europe on Facebook and internet. You have thousands of balls available. Some balls sell out very quickly and become perhaps expensive later on, perhaps not. I still don't. I think you should invest in old wines or something rather than mini golf balls to make money out of that. But yeah, there is a ball currently, it's carrying the name of the great Swedish player Fredrik Persson. Mm-hmm. It has sold for €400 in an auction lately.
Woo!
Which is for a ball that's not older than 5 years. It's clear that nobody needs exactly this ball for playing, so it's a good one, yes, but it's a collector's item.
Well, I mean, that's got to feel great for if you're Frederick.
Well, and I guess that was going to lead to a couple questions or a couple things that's not necessarily for the ball properties, but right, one of the things that's pretty unique around the European balls is that it's very common for when somebody wins a big tournament, yes, a team wins, you know, that they get a branded ball, right? And you actually, like you mentioned, Frederick's, and right, I've got Gunnar's ball. I mean, even the Putting Penguin, we made our own. So double question is, like, when people are designing those balls, do they look at, like, okay, this was a specific ball that I like type that I used, and so I want to replicate that? Is it sometimes just random? And then Posse, Do you have any, and how many do you have if you have more than one named after you?
I think some people are looking to make exactly a ball they seem to need or play very often, and some people just go for something good that's already available and doesn't need to be produced from scratch. Some people just want the beautiful colors and a nice logo. That's not to be underestimated nowadays, that the optics are also a selling factor. And I have not won many titles or almost any titles, so I started my own collection. It's at the moment at number 31. And I've said I'll keep on doing balls as long as they sell as well as they've done so far. So.
And are any of those available? Because I remember you talked about that on 54 Problems, but are most of those are relatively sought after and not available? Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe I have at the moment maybe only 5, 6, or 7 of them available. So the oldest ones are pretty hard to find already.
And I'm curious, because I know that you had said with both the concrete and miniature golf, the Eternit, that you can get a pretty wide variety of balls for specific situations. But with adventure golf, how wide can it go? Like, are there certain balls and certain properties that you find are never useful for adventure golf and MOS? Or can you kind of find a purpose depending on the hole with any type of ball? Like, if you had a ball that was super heavy and hard, or super, super light that was like a dead ball that you might use off the back wall in those long felt holes, like, do they have a good use in adventure golf and MOS as well?
I think it's dangerous to say never, because you never know when you're going to need that ball that's in the last corner of your storage. But in general, you can say that the unlacquered balls with the naked rubber surface, you don't want to play them too often on adventure golf, because the lacquer gives the smoothness and less friction. It's the turf is not same than hard concrete or felt, so the ball needs to be moving a little bit better. Obviously, the golf ball is moving the best. That's why you see quite a lot of clickers and glass balls used even on MOS, because it's moving nicely. So then sometimes you want to have a ball that is not moving fast, then you take a softer, maybe a little bit rougher surface to get it stopped to the drop pocket, or just you want to play exactly to the hole and not further. And it's a difficult question with the bounce. If you think of the typical city golf courses with the hills as boundaries, you don't play classical rebound shots, although they have a lot of bricks and plates where you are playing a rebound shot. But for this kind of courses, it's more about the rolling and not about the bounce. Some people like to play heavier balls. Some people prefer lighter balls, depending on their technique. But yeah, I think for adventure golf, MOS, kind of selection of 5, 6, 7, 8 balls of different properties will bring you pretty far already. If you have a variation in the bounce and a little bit in hardness, that will help quite a lot, regardless of the course.
In the big question that I have, that I've heard the answer, but I'd be curious to hear it from you, especially since you've been so engaged in the mini golf ball world for so long, is we've seen, and a lot of people have talked about, how golf ball only courses are gaining a lot of traction. And from your perspective, why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think it's easy to understand the arguments that it's a good point to start, like easy entry to the game, clear. Everybody's playing with the same ball, so you don't need to find the right ball, the best ball, or the best ball from your collection for the lane. Then again, like the tournaments where the organizer is giving you that ball, then it's really the same conditions. But for example, take putt-putt, everybody's using the kind of ball they prefer. So it's a golf ball, but it's not the same ball anymore, right? And I think that's, yeah, the easiness is a factor that you cannot deny. But then we come back to the question in which sport on top level the athletes are playing with exactly same equipment. I don't think there is too many of them. Take darts or this kind of sports.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And that's sort of the argument we have to make sometimes on the stateside. And we've, you know, had to make this argument with some tournament organizers, is that we get a lot of small courses that feel that a tournament, in order for it to be fair, people should be using the same equipment that the public is using. So a house ball and a house putter. And I think the argument I've tried to make is, imagine if you're asking people in a game that I know well and prefer, basketball, to say everybody has to wear the old school Converse Chuck Taylors. You could do that, but there's a reason why the top athletes do not wear Chuck Taylors, in the same way why the top athletes will get a specific mini golf putter or get a top end golf putter, because that has a certain feel to them that works out right. But you go to any tournament, I bet you'd be surprised to see more than half of the field with a similar putter. And in many cases, you might not actually see more than a handful of people with the same type of putter. Maybe in Europe, where there's a few more standard mini golf club companies, but I bet even there, you're still getting a wide variety of people using different equipment.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing I always point back to Pazzi, is that at that highest level, like, I don't mind having a tournament here and there where everybody's using the same thing, because it is kind of fun, right, to standardize. But if you take any other sport, and, you know, one that's kind of similar, like bowling, right, everybody's all got their own type of bowling balls. Most of the times you got more than one. You got a strike ball, you got a spare ball, and that's not too dissimilar. My wife does archery, and all of the bows in a division all have these little tweaks and stuff. So I don't see it as like totally different on the golf course or the mini golf course to, you know, have that same level of customization. And I think your point is something that we probably don't drive home a lot. Like, when Tom and I are trying to educate people, or people getting up to speed on the mini golf balls, it can seem overwhelming, right? Because if you watch like the world championships, they're using a lot more mini golf balls during their rounds than you would potentially on an adventure golf, right? Like, your point about,
yeah,
you can have a much narrower range of type of balls to do very well in adventure golf. And that was my experience when I played Waggaman 2019. You know, I obviously didn't do as good as everybody who won, but I did really well for me. And I didn't have, I think I only used 8 balls on the course, and a lot of them were, you know, you could reuse, because that's what adventure golf comes to. And so I think, like, where we sometimes get the argument of like, oh, you can do all of this. Well, on adventure golf, maybe not. So like, is it really that hard to say, even if you used 12 balls, like to go from 1 to 12 is not as much as 1 to 54 if you had 3 different ones for every hole, depending on what the temperature was at the time.
Yeah, I mean, from Eddie's interview, the story of Uppsala's ball stock when they travel to a tournament, that's absolutely true. But that's really the other end of the line, and at the other end is that one ball. So we're even, yeah, it's exaggerated science when they travel, but even then they don't use more than a couple of hundred of those balls probably. they just are there in case there is a ball that some other team is playing and it's really good, so they can have it out and try, but it's a pretty long way before you are that far. And yeah, especially as I said on adventure golf, the big advantage nowadays is that the communication in the modern era is so easy. You have knowledge about every course before you travel there. 30 years ago, we wrote letters to friends in that country and hoped they would send us some kind of letter back with a list of balls they play. And then we started searching before we traveled to the European Championships. But nowadays you have lists on internet and people can help you in no time. So even if it's special balls, you can at least have the information. And this is also valid for the adventure courses where people are playing.
Well, that feels like the perfect segue for the other topic that we really wanted to talk about, was that you have a really deep history in bringing adventure golf to a larger competitive level with the WMF, because, correct me if I'm wrong, you had a big part in getting the World Adventure Golf Masters started back in the first year was, correct me if I'm wrong, 2011 at Hastings?
That's right. I don't remember all the details anymore, but yeah, it probably started at some point between my first visit to World Crazies. This was my first time on adventure golf and playing in Great Britain. And somewhere around 2009, it was the former BMGA president or chairman, Sean Homer, and Keith Gillard, mm-hmm. back then also one of the actives and best players in Britain. We created the first set of MOS rules, also for the WMF rulebook. And I give Sean the honors. He likes to call himself the father of WAGM, and I'm sure it was his initial idea that we should do something official, international. British Open has been a story since end of 90s, I believe. So it's there was already a long history and tradition of people going to England for playing adventure golf. And then, yeah, three of the first WAGMs were played. No, four out of the first five were played in Hastings, and then came Kosovo and so on.
Yeah, and this year is going to be really interesting too, because it's not the first time that it's going to be in the Czech Republic, but correct me if I'm wrong, this is the first time for the World Adventure Golf Masters, which we're also calling WAGM, will be played on two different courses. Is that correct?
That's very correct. Firstly, there are not so many locations who can offer you two different adventure golf courses, and people have been asking me a lot why, because it's obvious that it requires more training, or the efficiency is not as high as when you practice only one course. But it's a fact that we didn't have any other applications for the World Adventure Golf Masters 24. We had this one fantastic application from Brno. The location is really great. And the owners and the local club, they really wanted to have it on two courses. And I think most of the ideas should be tested once. If it's not working, we can go back. Maybe we will go back anyway, because the next applicant has only one course. Who knows, maybe there will be another double course or combi course WAGM in the future. We will see.
Yeah, that is, I think, a thing that has raised a lot of conversations with players, and especially from the States, where playing with the mini golf balls on those styles of courses is already a little bit of a learning curve. And for me, my incentive to go was twofold. One, I know that I'm going to be new to mini golf balls, and I don't get a lot of opportunity to play them in a real strategic way with people that know how to use them. So if I'm going to train, why not train on 36 holes? I'm going to learn a lot more on 36 holes than I'm going to learn on 18. Probably not going to win anything, but I'm going to learn a lot in that. And the other completely non-intuitive thing for competitive sports is the biggest reason I want to go to Brno is for the third course that I wish we were playing instead, Adam, that when I saw photos of it and videos of it, I absolutely fell in love. As someone who loves uniquely designed courses, and we'll find out how it plays, I'm going to be over there playing it too. I'll probably be one of few players that goes over there. Maybe I'll drag some people with me, but I really love that it's just a big mini golf complex that has lots of variety. And the nice thing, talking about what you mentioned earlier about sharing of information, I can already watch a video from the club at Brno, how to play all those 36 holes in addition to the other 18 on that Adam course, which Brno, if you still have some time, you could do it. Just like, people are already kind of like about two courses, but you could change to Adam. Like, no one will be mad, including me. I know it won't happen, but you got to dream.
Yeah, that's right. And they have promised to bring more videos where you play the courses with mini golf balls. I believe the videos now are still golf ball videos. And it makes on some holes a difference, probably not on all. I've not had the chance to play the courses in tournament. I've played some test rounds there on both courses. They are very different, as you have seen, Eve and Venus. One is shorter, it's uphill, downhill, and you are expected to do a lot of aces. And the other one is probably the hardest test mini golf or Wagon has seen, maybe aside of Kosovo 2016. Oh, but boy, it will be grinding, no doubt. You don't have to necessarily win it over there, but you can definitely lose it there. It's a strategic place needed.
And I guess the other thing too, because we've talked about a lot about the World Adventure Golf Tour, obviously the AMA, we've got a stop on it. Our winner is trying to prep Dave Vedas, learning his way through mini golf balls. I've been giving him whatever little bit of knowledge I have, but he's going over because that final is being played on the Eve course over there. Correct. Was a month and a half, 2 months before Wagam. So there will be some more intelligence brought through that tournament being played ahead of time. So, you know, nice to see, and should be very interesting to follow along. And you know, we're going to have Dave on the podcast probably a couple times before and after to get his standpoint from doing that tour. So we're all looking forward to the events in the Czech Republic this year.
So selfishly, then I have to ask, because this will help Dave too, if we're playing the Eva and Venus course and we can't pack 100 balls, are there like a handful of balls that you, from your experience, you would say this type of ball or some of these properties, to your opinion, would be the best? And again, I think we should preface this all with, it's fairly subjective in some ways because it depends on what type of ball you like to play, and like how you strike it a little bit, I would say, correct? Like some people will play the same hole with a variety of different balls. Like, you might not have people playing the same exact type of ball on every hole, right?
No, surely not, because you have your personal preferences, what kind of balls, if you want to play harder or softer or lighter or heavier balls. And it's especially the Venus course is a lot about the touch and the right speed, obviously also direction. But I think after the World Adventure Golf Tour final, there will be a pretty good picture what kind of balls are needed on Eve. My impression with those couple of rounds is that it's not very complicated and material related. You need a dead ball, a semi-bouncy ball, a bouncy ball, and then, yeah. But like I said, I have just taken balls from the locals and played them without asking many questions. So the tour final will definitely tell.
Yeah, I'll be paying close attention. It's one of those things where I am preparing in a way where I know I'm going to have to learn a lot, but I also want to do well. I have a collection of mini golf balls that I collected between trips to the UK and Sweden and just ordering from overseas and practicing with those and some indoor courses here. And then when the spring comes in the summer and just trying to get it down. But it's been really interesting because a course where we're holding an indoor tournament for the AMA in a couple weeks, there's a final hole that few people make the hole in one shot on it. And it's just a one shot kind of final hole in a course. And the squishier dead ball in a medium size, I have found the percentage of making with that ball so much higher. And even if the rest of the holes where I found some mini golf balls that play a little bit better, but weirdly a golf ball on the majority of the holes still to my own preference feels well. If I had the chance and choice of being able to play a mini golf ball on that course, that one hole would make a huge difference. I probably could hit, you know, one out of every three balls into that final hole for a hole in one versus with a golf ball. I bet it's 1 out of 10, 1 out of 20, just the way that the cup is positioned. And that's pretty big. If you can make that 1 out of 3 rounds in a tournament, that's a pretty big game changer, especially with our rules. So yeah, I have found very quickly the point of it. And I think part of the reason, honestly, to do this podcast is both of us get these questions or get these comments that this, like, why? Like, why use mini golf balls? Some people, because they're small, they're like, well, it's cheating. You know, they're smaller and it's easier to get it in. It's like, okay, here's a golf ball. Here's a clicker. You're 20 feet away. See how much easier you can get them both in sight unseen without practicing with them. I don't think the average person's going to step up and hit that any better with a clicker if they don't play with it regularly versus a golf ball. It's just all about practice with it and knowing the right situations, which I don't know them yet, but I'm looking forward to figuring those out in the Czech Republic and excited to see more videos of that. I'm hoping too, when they're using the mini golf balls, I've been very, very slowly picking up a little bit of Czech on Duolingo, but I definitely need a lot more to understand the videos as is. So I'm hoping that there will be some, either I'm going to have to learn a lot more or that there might even be a transcription just so you can kind of hear a little bit more about what they're saying, how the course plays. But honestly, even without being able to understand what he's saying, I get what he's putting that foot out. He's pointing. I have found that in tournaments where I don't speak the language as some of the other people. That's enough. I have a video of that at Uppsala where I was practicing and a guy just comes up and he saw me struggling to make the ball in the hole. And I got to put that video up in a review at some point. He just goes up to this bridge, points at it. And I'd been missing and missing and missing it, and I have that video. And then I took my next shot and I made it. And I was like, oh, didn't exchange any other words. And it helped. So I'm really excited to see what comes out of it and to see how people do when they have to learn two courses.
Yeah, and as happened in Uppsala there, be sure that there will also be people at Wagam who will help you with any, either you have to ask or some cases of some people you don't even have to ask, they will offer you more than enough advice by their initiative. But yeah.
Especially if you're doing really bad and they want you to move on and they just see you doing it so bad. Okay, take my ball. Like, it cost me $20, but I'm not going to wait for you to play this hole and figure it out. Just take this, hit it. It's going to go in. Get out of the way.
No.
I'm kidding.
Even the very best.
Yes.
Want there to be more people from different countries. And
absolutely,
it's very boring to play always against the same 10 people. So be sure that.
Amen.
Which I guess leads me to.
All people will be very welcome.
To a Wagam, future Wagam question. Is there a course or a country that you would love to see Wagam played at sometime down the road?
Now I have to be politically correct.
I know, so I put you on the spot. Let's put the disclaimer that your opinion will not be the opinion of the WMF. This is the the posse personal opinion.
Does it start with a US and end with an A?
Use Ganda, no. Yeah, sure. Also, why not? Why not? Many people keep telling me that they want to go to New Zealand. We know that there is a very strong, small but strong group of players. Mm-hmm. But if you ask me personally, the course that I visited and even tested is in Albania, Tirana, the capital.
Huh.
On top of a 1,000-meter mountain, there is a resort, hotel, restaurant, and a city golf course. There has been a tournament, I think 2019, but unfortunately, never anything came out of that. It's because there is no federation, no active federation in Albania. But that place and that course would be really nice for a wagon, just as my personal opinion. Go check Daiti Mini Golf.
And I know you had said on 54 Problems that there are some other developing federations out there. Are there any that are developing? Because you had mentioned Poland in the 54 Problems podcast, but it sounds like they're playing a lot more concrete or miniature golf or even a version of felt. I mean, is it possible that Poland's one that could hold a Wagum, or is that more likely for World Championship down the road?
Oh, that's first, they would need an adventure or MOS course to play on. I mean, they have different kinds of MOS courses, but not adventure style.
Sure.
No, I just hope they will stabilize their young federation and become an active partner. They are doing a lot of good things. There is a good vibe going on at the moment. So, yeah.
Yeah. You got me excited about it, honestly, the podcast, and then following on Facebook what's going on there. Weirdly, even though they don't have much adventure golf, learning some play with mini golf balls, Poland's pretty high on my list of places to go next. I think it would be really cool from our perspective, especially from the AMA and growing our own competitive sport within our organization, to go to a place where they're in the same position. You go to Sweden and you just feel embarrassed that our hospitality and our organization will never catch up to Sweden. They are so far ahead versus seeing even the UK. They're doing just such an incredible job and they're so well organized. But you go to other countries where it's a little bit newer. And for me, that's just really exciting to see. And there's just a different energy where people are getting going that I there's something about it. I think it coming from the music world and seeing little music communities popping up in the Midwest of the US, it's the same thing. There's some fresh energy that's exciting.
Yeah. When I listened what Eddie said, and us coming from Finland, and no matter if it's Sweden, Germany, Finland, Poland, we all have this strong culture of sports clubs. It's changing more to the individual, that you can go and do whatever you want. You pay for it. But when I grew up, it was like if you do sports, you belong to a sports club, whether it's mini golf, ice hockey, or anything else. And that's the difference. Even in Great Britain, they have their clubs for the club competition, but the players are directly members in the BMGA. And that's still in that sense more individual than in Sweden or Germany. The player is a member in a club, and the club is a member in the federation, so the player is not directly communicating with the federation so that's a difference. But I have a lot of great friends in Great Britain, and I have the highest respect for what they are doing there for a long time already.
And obviously there's a ton more we could talk to you about, Posse. I'm sure we will have you on again as we go through different topics and everything, but this covered the with the mini golf balls and the Wagon, really what we wanted to prep here in the beginning of 2024.
Yeah, thank you for that and coming on. We appreciate it so much. And it's always challenging to schedule with international guests, but it's so, so, so rewarding.
I'm happy to come again if you want me. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you, Tom, in Brno. I think I will see Pat in Copenhagen, right?
Yeah, about 6 weeks. Yeah. I'll be there.
Right. It's already around the corner. So thank you for having me. I hope it was all right.
It was wonderful. Great. Thank you.
All right. So thanks again to Posse for jumping on here. As Tom mentioned, we had some time travel fun with this because I think we did mention that Posse and I were going to meet each other in Denmark, which we did meet each other, and we will reserve some of the results of a particular mini golf match that we had for when we share this episode. But good times there.
And we will be sharing a video that he sent us after we recorded this initially, where he shot yet another perfect round of 18 on an Eternit course. Of course, he gave us the video of the final hole. So not only does he have a deep history with the game, he has a deep current present presence in the game of mini golf. So kudos to you, Posse. If I get anywhere near an 18 someday, I will be thrilled.